Welcome to the People Powered Business Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Lee Billett. If you employ staff, engage contractors, or rely on people to help deliver your products or services, you're in the right place. Join us each week as we dive in to uncover what makes people tick, learn the best strategies and tactics to build an amazing team, and most importantly, discover how you, the business owner or leader, can unleash the power of your people to help create the successful business you deserve. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the People Powered Business Podcast. This is Christy Lee, your host, and thank you for joining me today. It's great to have you here for episode 3 of the podcast. If you've been listening to our previous episodes, thanks so much for continuing to listen to the show. Really appreciate your support and for you being here. So I appreciate you. As we're recording this today, we are still in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, and if you're listening through that period, I hope you're safe, I hope you're well. Today's topic is one that is universally important across business. However, if you are listening during the COVID-19 pandemic and you've got your employees working from home, working remotely, this is still a great topic. Even though you're not all in the office together, it's still vitally important, especially at the moment, to consider today's topic. So whether or not you're listening at that time, this is a topic that will apply to you if you have a team of employees and contractors working for you. I had promised to bring you this episode as episode 2, but instead what I decided to do for episode 2 was an unplanned, unscripted episode about leading through crisis. Because we were going through COVID-19 at the time of recording, I felt it really important to, provide some advice and guidance that might assist some of you leading through a period which was and is now unprecedented, quite overwhelming, quite daunting. And I hope some of the information and advice there in episode 2, which I brought to you, also had some information from other business owners and leaders, might have helped you at this time to find the way through, because it is something that none of us have experienced before. So great to get some feedback from others as to how we can best work through that process together. So episode 3, here we are. Today we're going to be talking on the show about a topic that I talk a lot about. It's a bit of a HR buzzword. Some might consider it a bit of HR fluff stuff. It's something that I think a lot of small and medium business owners consider a topic for corporate only, so not as relevant to them and their team in their smaller businesses. But what I do know is that organisations of any size who can get this right and really dedicate the right amount of thought and commitment to nurturing this particular topic can really see the benefits. And the benefits can include reducing staff turnover, reducing absenteeism, higher productivity, and best of all, higher profit margins. So, would you like to know what it is that I'm talking about? Today's topic is employee engagement. Now, some of you might be thinking, I know what that's all about. Employee engagement is about keeping people happy, giving them what they want, making sure they're happy here at work. If I do everything they want, they'll be engaged. Not quite. And today we're going to explore exactly what is employee engagement, how you can understand whether your employees are or aren't engaged, what the impacts of a lack of employee engagement can look like, and best of all, we're really going to uncover how you can create an engaged team. So let's dive into today's topic. So what is employee engagement? As I mentioned, it's not just about keeping staff happy, although that is part of it. It's not just about making the workspace a beautiful place to work, about having beanbags and ping pong tables and those kind of things. It's certainly not about sitting around singing Kumbaya so that everyone is happy and calm at work. But what it is something that we really need to understand at its core so that we can comprehend how we can best apply it in our business. So employee engagement, ultimately, is a level of an employee's commitment and connection to the organisation. So I'm going to repeat those two words again because I think they're really important. So an employee's commitment to the organisation, but also, and equally important, their connection to the organisation. And what we're talking about there is their commitment to not only showing up, but giving their absolute all and then some. And their connection is really about their connection to you as a leader and the ultimate vision that you are trying to create in your business. The not only the end goal, but the aspirational goal that you're working towards. Employee engagement is about that little bit extra that those employees are willing to put into their work because they are so invested in the vision, because they are so committed to the organisation, and they genuinely have a desire to contribute to the organisation's success. Employee engagement is not about working ridiculous hours, although engaged employees will tend to work more than what's required if they're driven to get the task done. But often it's quite the opposite. Let's have a look at some of the, I guess, levels of employee engagement, because this might help give you a guide, because it's not just about engaged or disengaged. There is, a sliding scale that we talk about when we're looking at whether or not an employee is engaged in the business. And really, there's lots of different definitions and descriptions of this, but there are three core levels that really help us define the level of engagement we see in our business. So obviously, best case scenario, we've got our actively engaged employees. Our actively engaged employees are loyal and productive. They work with passion. They really feel a really profound sense of connection to the company. And when I say connection to the company, again, it's not just about the bricks and mortar of the business. It's about the leadership. It's about the vision. It's about the end goal in terms of what this business is all about. They serve that vision above themselves. Highly engaged employees drive innovation in your business, and they help the organization move forward. They're like the driving force that keeps your business moving forward. So they're our best case scenario. If we can create a team that is 100% highly engaged employees who are really actively engaged in that vision, that's your best case scenario. So that's what we're working towards. Now, in the middle, we have employees that are not engaged. They're your average performers. They don't really think either positively or negatively about the business. They're the person that turns up physically, but not in spirit. They put in the time, but not the energy. They're basically sleepwalking through the day. They do what's asked, but they don't do any more than what's asked. So just enough. And they see work, I guess, as a bit of a paycheck, but nothing more than that. So they turn up to get their pay. They do what's required. They'll never go above and beyond. And they certainly won't do anything unless they're instructed and asked to do it. So they're your not engaged employees. So they're not highly engaged or actively engaged. They're not disengaged. They're just in the middle. They're your mediocres. Now, most businesses will have an element of someone who fits into this category. And I guess this is a bit of an orange light zone, if you like. It's a zone that you want to be aware of and cautious of, because someone slipping down one more level into actively disengaged is where things become really dangerous and toxic. And often people that are sitting in the middle have the ability to go either way. So it's a good zone to watch and see where you've got people at there. Now, of course, our worst case scenario is our actively disengaged employees. So what do these people look like? Actively disengaged employees are unhappy, they're negative, they're resentful, and worst of all, they can be toxic in the workplace. They actively undermine all the great things that your highly and actively engaged co-workers can accomplish. They do less than what is required, so they do less than the minimum, but here's the thing. They stick around in organisations because they're very, very good at figuring out who's going to do better than them and working actively to remove them from the business. So they either make it so uncomfortable that great new starters don't stay, they become toxic, so they create a toxic environment that the best and brightest don't want to work in, and they really actively undermine people. So what we know is that someone like this can impact 4 to 5 people minimum around them. So it would take 5 highly engaged or 4 to 5 highly engaged employees to counteract the negative impact of one of these actively disengaged employees. So you can see these actively disengaged employees can be super dangerous in your business, and you need to nip these ones in the bud and address it and get the situation fixed very quickly. So let's look at how we know if we have disengaged workers. Now, obviously, most of us would like to think that we would see that toxic behaviour. We'd see the negativity. We would see the active undermining of great performance. But often they're very good at hiding that from us as leaders. So in all instances, it's not directly obvious to us. So some of the other subtle ways that we can see if we've got some potentially disengaged employees in our workforce are looking at behaviours. Now, one of the main things that I see that really raises a red flag for me as having someone that's moving into an actively disengaged participant in the workforce is changes in their behaviour. So employees that have always been quite, able to get to work on time, quite able to don't use all their sick leave, use some but not all, who suddenly start to turn up a few minutes late every day, that then spirals into 5 minutes late every day, that then spirals into they get in whenever they like, somewhere within about half an hour of their usual start time. That is a red flag behaviour that shows me that someone is slipping into actively disengaged. They become clock watchers. Actively disengaged employees are always clock watchers, and your not engaged employees are sometimes in this category too. So what you'll notice is if someone is not generally a clock watcher and suddenly they become one, that's when you know you're in the risk. They're slipping into actively disengaged. They're not interested in any social activities that the team might be doing together, any of the usual things that they may have previously participated in. So if they were someone that usually went to lunch with some of their colleagues or would always turn up at team social events and they start to pull away from that, you know that that employee is disengaging from your business. Someone that complains about their co-workers, this is a big one as well. They always seem to have a negative take on things. They can never see the positive in a situation. They go straight for the negative. That's a disengaged employee right there. Someone who uses all of their leave entitlements as soon as they are accrued. That is something that is very common with disengaged employees. And in fact, with actively engaged employees, you'll never ever see that happen. So someone that's basically waiting till they have 8 hours of sick leave accrued and then suddenly taking a sick day, that's a sign of disengagement. So you need to keep an eye on that as well. Keeping a good eye on your leave and timesheet records will give you a really good insight into engagement in your workplace. Someone who is constantly making every situation about them. So they're thinking about them up above and beyond their co-workers. They're thinking about themselves over the project or the task that they're working on. They're thinking about themselves more than the business and driving towards, achieving that mission that you've set for them. That's someone that's disengaged as well. And someone that is happy to take credit but quick to pass blame. So someone that will put their hand up and say, I'm fantastic, I achieved that, but is at the same time very quick to blame someone else if things don't go 100% to plan. That's another sign that you might have a disengaged worker right there. So signs of disengagement include changes in behaviour, someone that's a clock watcher, someone who's regularly late and using all of their leave entitlements as soon as they're accrued, someone who suddenly moves away from being part of a team to actively avoiding social contact with the team, someone that complains about their co-workers, someone who's constantly negative, and someone who will very quickly take the credit but very quickly pass the blame. That's the kind of behaviours we're alert for when we're looking for disengaged workers. Let's look on the flip side now though, the more positive side. Let's have a look at our engaged employees. What do they look like? Okay, we know our engaged employees are positive. They're optimistic. They are team orientated. They will go above and beyond and only use their leave when they want to take a holiday or they're genuinely very, very sick. They look for solutions rather than problems. In fact, they'll offer solutions quite proactively. They won't come to you as the leader with a problem. They'll come to you with a solution to that problem. They're usually very selfless people, so they're genuinely looking out for the needs of the business as first priority and putting themselves second. And that's a really valuable thing to look for as a trait in your employees. If you're seeing that behavior, you know you've got someone really highly engaged and you need to hold on to that and nurture that within them and foster that as part of your team dynamic. Engaged employees love to learn. Now, that may not be textbook learning or going to courses, but they've got a natural curiosity so that they can understand more about the business, about the bigger picture, about the goals and objective, so they can help you drive towards that. They've got a real passion for that curiosity. One other really interesting factor about highly engaged employees is that they pass credit on to others, but willingly accept blame themselves. So they'll sooner put their hand up and say, I apologize, I had a part in that, or that was my fault, or I didn't take action quickly enough, but pass credit onto others for the achievement of a goal. So they're very selfless in how they act. And I think that's a real trait that we can look for with our highly engaged employees and recognize it when we see it so that we can nurture them and really encourage them as part of our team because they're our star players. So highly engaged employees are optimistic, they're positive, they come to you with solutions rather than problems. They're selfless, they have a curiosity and they love to learn, and they will quickly accept blame and pass credit on to others. So that's what we're looking for in those really highly engaged employees, and we want to foster and encourage that behaviour. One of the other ways I really like to talk to employers and my clients about the difference between engagement and disengagement, and it's a little tool that I use when I'm explaining the concept and just the broader behaviour of their staff to them, is a concept that I call above the line and below the line. Now, I'm not exactly sure who originated this concept. I know that Robert Kiyosaki talks about this in his book Rich Dad Poor Dad, but I think the concept actually was, you know, existing prior to that time as well. And I talk to businesses about it that when they're really struggling to understand why they're frustrated with a particular employee or group of employees' behaviour. So sometimes business owners and leaders will come to me frustrated and unsure how to best manage someone or best manage a situation. And often once we dig down a little bit further, this above the line and below the line concept really helps them to very quickly understand what's going on. So when we're talking about above the line and below the line, we've basically got two sets of behaviours, and employees will generally fit into one or the other. So let me break it down for you. Above the line people take accountability. They take responsibility for their actions, and they see solutions rather than problems. They see positives and possibilities. They're action takers. They own what they do. So you can see what I've described there is also what I've just described as a highly engaged employee a little earlier. Now, below the line people love to blame, shame, and justify. Everything is somebody else's fault. They don't take ownership for anything that happens. They tend to block ideas, they see problems and obstacles, and they avoid taking any action. Now, you can see again there what I've described is similar to some of the descriptions I provided earlier for a disengaged employee. So if you just picture in your mind for a moment a piece of paper, lined straight through the middle, and you've got above the line people and below the line people. Now, above the line people take ownership of their actions. They're action takers. They see possibilities. They see solutions. They offer advice and guidance, and they come from a really positive mindset. Below the line, the people sitting at the bottom of your page that you've just drawn in your mind there, they're people that blame, shame, and justify. Everything that happens is somebody else's fault. Now, if you stop and pause for a moment and think about any problem that you've had in your business relating to your people, and you use this above the line and below the line concept, I can guarantee the problem person is sitting below the line and the people that are best in your business sit above the line. Now, this example isn't specifically to do with employee engagement. I just find it a really great tool that helps people very simply and easily see what we're talking about when we're talking about a term like employee engagement. Above the line people are highly engaged. Below the line people are our disengaged employees, and we want to get everyone above the line. That's what creates an awesome culture, a great team, and a productive workplace. Okay, so now that we understand the difference between what our engaged and disengaged workers look like, let's look at some of the factors that actually drive engagement in the workplace. So the things that we can actually control as leaders to help create an engaged workplace, because this is where we can really help make things happen. So some of the ways that we can drive engagement in the workplace are around our leaders. So you have the opportunity and the ability to really drive high employee engagement. So leaders who are equally invested and want to be part of a great place to work, so they're part of the team. Employees see that, and that creates a more engaged culture. And leaders that staff feel like they can trust. Now, this is so important. We all know in our personal lives, in our work life, that if we feel we trust someone, we're more committed to them. It's a natural human response. So trust in your leader is an absolutely critical component of creating an engaged culture. If your team don't feel like they can trust you, you will never have high engagement. So it's something you really need to build. The team need to believe in the future success of the business. Now, when times are tough and businesses go through tough times at any time, you know, of their life cycle, when times are tough, your staff still need to believe that future success is possible. And that might be you mapping out the roadmap for them as to how you're going to get there, providing small steps of success that you can achieve along the way. They have to see that belief in that future success. So you as the leader need to set down that path for them. People need to understand their place in the organization. Now, this might sound a little bit like you're trying to pigeonhole everyone or pop them in a particular box, and that's not necessarily the case, but people want to understand how they're part of the bigger picture. Every role in an organization has a part to play in that organization's success. It can be anything from the cleaner to the receptionist to the CEO. Everyone has a role to play, and people need to understand their part so that they can feel like they're doing their part as well as they can to contribute to that success. So having those boundaries, those position descriptions, those parameters about what success looks like in their role helps them to see the part of the bigger picture that they're achieving. So really having some clarity around that is important to them as well. People in an organization need to feel valued. They want to see that their leaders value people over any other resource. So if you can create a culture where your people, your team, feel like the team and the people are valued over and above any other resource in the business, that goes so far towards it creating an engaged culture. It's something you can really drive engagement with. Of course, people like to know that the business is investing in its people. So training and development, opportunities for progression, learning, opportunities for challenge and trying new things, all of those things can really show an individual and a team that the business is investing in its people. Now, that doesn't mean you need to have a massive training budget. You can do lots of different things to help invest in your people. And I think that's something that a lot of businesses pull away from when times are tough. But think laterally. Think about the opportunities that you have to invest in your people without it costing huge amounts of money. Because in tougher times, that will mean you can continue to get that engagement happening. What people also love to know is that they have the authority within their role to go and get their job done. They don't want to have to get three pieces of paper signed off or five levels of authority to agree with something they're saying before they can do whatever their task is. If you've got someone in a marketing team and their role is to get communication out each week, if they have lots of roadblocks to get that out, they feel like they don't have the authority to get their job done. You employ people, you pay them, you invest in them to be able to do their best work. Sometimes you have to get out of their way and let them do that. So let them have the authority to do their job. Let them have the freedom to make decisions that are within the scope of their role and their parameters. So obviously you don't want them making decisions that are outside of their scope of responsibility, but within their role, within their boundaries, let them be free to make decisions. Also be okay with the fact that they may not get every decision right, because an engaged employee will own that mistake and they will rectify it and they will come to you with a solution. But if they don't have the freedom to do that, they will withdraw and become disengaged. So you've got to give them that freedom to do that. And of course, you know, at the basic level, make sure they've got the tools and the resources and the equipment to do their job. If an employee doesn't have what they need to do their job, they're never going to be engaged to go that bit further to help you and your business achieve your goals. So we've touched on some of the ways that you as a leader can really drive high engagement within your team, which is fantastic. Now let's have a look about some of the consequences of poor engagement and benefits of high engagement that we can see in a business. So some of the actual statistics that we know are a fact. Findings from global analytics firm Gallup show us that highly engaged teams show 21% greater profitability. 21%. Now, profitability, that's your bottom line. That is your, you know, for many of businesses, that's an ultimate measure. So if we know that highly engaged teams create a 21% greater profitability margin, and we've just learned that there's some really easy ways we can create greater engagement, why would we not be putting that in place? Why doesn't every organization put that in place? Those businesses with the highest level of engagement also showed a reduction in absenteeism by somewhere between 41 and 59%. That is a huge reduction in absenteeism. Absenteeism is a huge cost for business. You know, if you think about it, if you've got a team of 10 and on any given day, two of those staff are off on some form of leave, that's a real reduction in what you can productively do each day. So being able to reduce absenteeism by something over 40% is going to be a huge benefit for any business. The same research found that when an employee felt that their voice was being heard, so that their leader was listening to them and really genuinely invested in what they had to say, those employees felt nearly five times more empowered to do their best work. So they felt five times more empowered to be engaged, to be committed, to passionately pursue the vision of the business. Now that's a smaller statistic, sure, but if you can, you know, incrementally increase that over time, you're going to get huge results for your business. What we also know from some of this research is that Australia doesn't stack up as well as others in terms of employee engagement. A study in 2017-2018 showed that 24% of Australian only 24% of Australian employees were engaged in their work. Only 24%. That's very low. That's something we should not be proud of, and we need to work better to improve. So once you pick your chin up off the floor from that stat, consider the opportunities you have. If only 24% of Australian employees are engaged, we have a huge opportunity here to create higher engagement, to do more. And once we do that, we know that we can increase the profitability by more than 20%. So we've got some really easy things we can do right now to increase that engagement, increase our profitability. It's a huge opportunity that we can really take advantage of. One of the other things I know is from all the research that it can take, as I mentioned earlier, 4 to 5 highly engaged employees to counteract the negative impact of one disengaged and toxic employee. So what you need to do then in that instance is minimize your disengaged employees, maximize your highly engaged employees, so that you don't have to consider that ratio when you're looking at offsetting the extra work that your highly engaged employees need to do. So to run through those stats again, what we know is that highly engaged team show more than 20% extra profitability. We know that those highly engaged teams also see a reduction in absenteeism of over 40%, so 40% less time off. We know that if their voice is heard, they're nearly five times more likely to actively engage towards your vision. And we know that staggeringly, Australia has a very low engagement rate. So we have a huge opportunity to improve engagement here and get much better business results. So now that we know some of the impacts of both high engagement and disengagement can have on our organisation's effectiveness and profitability, I'm sure you've got some ideas swimming around in your head about how you can now go and actively implement some engagement strategies. But what I've done is I've made it really simple for you, and I've got a free, very easy to digest infographic that's going to show you 8 key ways that you can straight away implement some changes or some new styles in your business to improve employee engagement. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put that in the show notes, which you'll be able to find here, or you can head over to peoplepoweredbusiness.com and search for episode 3. And that will have that download there for you. As I said, it's a really simple, easy to digest infographic that will run you through 8 key ways you can very quickly improve employee engagement in your business. So go ahead and grab that download as soon as you finish listening to this episode. Now, we've covered a lot of information today, so thank you for bearing with me, and I really hope it's been valuable to you in understanding what on earth employee engagement is, and how you can recognize the signs of an engaged and disengaged employee in your business, and some of the really easy things you can do as the leader to create higher engagement and improve the results of your business. So thanks again for being with me. In next week's episode, we're going to be talking about creating great work from home environments for your team and how to keep your team both engaged, so nice and topical from today's episode, and also productive whilst they're working from home. As mentioned at the time of recording, we are currently in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, and what that means is that many, many businesses who previously would have never had staff working from home are working exclusively with work from home arrangements, and that's really new for some people, both employers and employees. So next week, what we're going to do is dive into how you can create really effective work from home arrangements and how you can continue all this great engagement work that you've looked at doing to keep your team engaged and motivated whilst you're all working remotely. So we'll run through some really practical tips there. So thanks again for joining me here today. I hope you're well. Enjoy the rest of your week, and I look forward to talking to you again next week. Take care.